Well, today we're going to continue a little series that felt led to do, which has to do with the convictions of our fellowship, Bible prayer, and missions. And a couple weeks ago, we looked at the subject of the Bible, and we saw, in accordance with the solus there, Scripture only, that it is inspired by God, that it is authentic, that it is authoritative and infallible, and it is that which is the basis of our faith and the basis of our lives, sanctification. It's complete revelation, so it's wonderful to have the Word, and it ought to be a priority. We saw Luke 10, that Mary chose that one needful part, which should not be taken from her. And so it should be a priority personally, you know, and as a church, times like this. And it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? We have the Bible. God has preserved it. We've got the canon of Scripture, 66 books. And we have the freedom even to study and preach the Word. Well, the second subject is prayer. And before we start, I'd like to ask Brian, would you lead us to the throne of grace? Amen. Now, in any relationship, communication is a key. Well, in salvation, we have a relationship with the Lord, right? He communicates to us through His Word, and we can communicate to Him with prayer. And prayer is the heartbeat of your spiritual life. It is a good indicator of our faith and our love to the Lord, our closeness to the Lord. You might say it's the most private part of the Christian life. In fact, Jesus said to go into a closet and pray. It's a personal thing, right, between us and the Lord, other than public prayer, united prayer. But it ought to be that which is very central in our lives. Now, where I'm going with this is to talk about personal prayer and then intercession, the ministry of prayer, and then united prayer. And you realize this is a subject that's too big for one message. In fact, there's a handout back there. I only could find one MP3 on prayer. We did a series a few years back, and there are 9 messages. So feel free to take that if you like, or you could approach Wayne if there aren't any remaining. So we're going to hit the highlights of this. And each of us have our own prayer lives. You alone know what that's like. That's between you and God. But it's a very special part of the Christian life, isn't it? He sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba Father, Papa Father. And I want to talk about that, how prayer is to the Father in the name of the Son, in the power of the Holy Spirit. We're looking at the true basis of prayer. Can't help but get a little doctrinal here in explaining the basis of prayer, and I think understanding it can strengthen our faith and confidence in prayer. Now, can everybody pray? No. Those that come to God must believe that He is, and the rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. So when you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're born from above, right? I woke you up tonight. He sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. He's begotten us with the Word of truth. We literally are God's children, and He is our Father. And we can come to Him. It's a filial relationship and love that we have toward Him. And so as we come to our Heavenly Father, every good gift, every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father. And remember how Jesus instructed to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven. In fact, if you go to John 16:23, we see the order that He gave. John 16:23. Notice, this is Jesus in the upper room, and so He's saying these things in anticipation of His death, resurrection, ascension, and ministry in heaven. And He says, In that day ye shall ask Me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in My name, He will give it you. So that's the order that God gave. before they would come directly to Jesus Christ and ask him, well, now he's saying you can come to the Father. And of course, he's a good God, right? You come and ask for bread, is he going to give you a stone? If you ask for fish, is he going to give you a serpent? If you ask for an egg, is he going to give you a scorpion? No. Our Heavenly Father knows how to give good gifts. He's a good God. And so it's wonderful to be under the Father's care, the Father's provision, the Father's faithfulness. Now, I want to say, is it correct to pray directly to the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, you do have examples of that in the Bible. You have Stephen, who said, I see the Son of God standing at the right hand. And Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. So there are occasions where it was appropriate. I believe personally it's appropriate at the Lord's table. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. But the primary order that God has given is to pray to the Father in the name of the Son. Now, we see here the basis. We pray in the name of the Son. And why? Well, because the Lord Jesus Christ is our great high priest in whom we are accepted. We don't come in our own name or our own merit. We come in the name of Christ. And please go to Hebrews chapter 4. It's like the old illustration. If you go down to Farmers Bank, is that there? Home Savings. And you tell them, I'd like to draw out $1 million. And they would smile at you. Or call the manager, or hit the button, you know, underneath the table. But if you have a certified check from Rockefeller or Bill Gates or somebody, call the manager, and here's your $1 million. It's who you know. Well, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, don't misunderstand me, I'm not preaching name it, claim it here. But if you come in the name of Jesus Christ, you have an audience with heaven because you're associated with him. You're accepted in him. Ye and me and I and you. God sees you. He sees his Son. He sees his Son. He sees you when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. It's amazing, you know, the position that we have in Christ. And he's there in heaven, as we've heard in Hebrews. He's our advocate. He's the one there representing us. Hebrews 9:24, for instance, says, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, to appear in the presence of God for us, literally before the face of God. So we have a representative, brethren. We have one in whose name we come. And if you go to Hebrews 10:19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now, you know the analogy here is the tabernacle. You had the outer court, and then you had the holy place, and then once a year, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest only could go in, not without blood, into the holiest. Well, when Jesus died, the veil in the temple was rent, signifying the way is now open, verse 20, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. And so two things. By the blood of Christ, verse 19, we can come with boldness. By the person of Christ, verse 21, a high priest, a representative. So the way is open. And if you go back to Hebrews 4, familiar passage, in verse 14, Hebrews 4:14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, deity. Let us hold fast our profession, better rendered confession. For we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Here's his humanity. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly, means with freedom of face, unto the throne of God, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So we have a righteous basis, brethren, by which we can come to God in prayer. Come right into the holiest. You're on holy ground in prayer. You know, when it's real prayer, that's in faith, you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you have that access. And you're praying to the Father. You're praying in the name of the Son. And then you're praying in the power of the Holy Spirit. in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 26, we know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that knows the will of God, I can't quote the rest. And so, do we know what to pray for? No, but God, the Holy Spirit, knows what we should pray for. And Ephesians 2:18, I think it is. Let's turn there. Ephesians 2:18. We have no power to pray. We have no power to do anything for God without the Holy Spirit. In 2:18, for through him, through Christ, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. I like how J.O. Fraser, in a little book on prayer, brought out that he asks for God to lead his prayer in the beginning of his prayer. You know, true prayer originates with God. And Ben and I visited a lady yesterday. Her sister was dying as we were talking to her, and so we prayed with her, and she said her faith has been shaken by this, because I think it was her brother that died, and she prayed. And Jesus said, if you pray anything in his name, he'll do it. And then she was praying for her sister that she'd be healed, and if you pray anything in Jesus' name, he'll do it. Well, you have to look at all the scripture, right? 1 John 5:14, if we pray according to his will, he heareth us. Yeah, it's in Jesus' name, but it's also to be in faith, and it's also to be in his will. And God answers prayer, but we've got to be in tune with him. We need the Holy Spirit to lead in prayer. And that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Where God, the Holy Spirit, who has the wisdom, let's turn to that passage in Romans to get the complete text. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 27, 19 times it mentions the Holy Spirit in Romans 8. In 26 it says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In other words, you can't put it into words all the time, what you're communicating from your heart. Verse 27, he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That's where prayer is effectual. And so that's the basis of prayer. We pray to the Father. We're born of God. He is our Father. We pray in the name of the Son. We're washed in his blood. We're made acceptable in the Son. We pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. He's God. He has all wisdom. He knows what we're to pray for. Now, so I wanted to start with that. That's the foundation. And now let's consider. Most of this is devotional and practical that I'd like to share with you. Please go to Matthew chapter 6. There's personal prayer, and then there's public prayer. You know, there's personal worship, and there's public worship. I trust you had your personal time of worship before you came and had your public worship today. And it's very important, isn't it? We owe that to God. He is a great God. In Matthew 6:5, notice. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. They love to pray, standing in the synagogues, in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. So, it's personal, isn't it? You come to God, it's you and him. You're alone with him. And you can pour your heart out to him. You can, as we're going to see, there's an order to this of praise and then supplication and then intercession. In fact, notice here's the order that Jesus gives here in verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, literally the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now that's a pattern for prayer. By the way, it's called the Lord's Prayer, but the Lord couldn't pray it because he didn't have any sin. He doesn't need any forgiveness. But it's a pattern for us that shows the key elements of prayer and the priorities. What's the priority? Our Father, who art in heaven. It should start with praise. Now, there is a temptation, especially if you have trials. You want to bring that right up to the throne of grace. Well, that's the wrong place to start. And we want to start with praise. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy is thy name. And let's go to the Psalms. The Psalms are filled with this theme of praise. Psalm 100. You know, if we start this way, our prayer will be elevated. We'll be brought into the presence of God and in communion with God. And we'll be seeing things from heaven's viewpoint. In Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. It's the way to come, isn't it? You want to count your blessings. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. You want to list them like David did. That's Psalm 103. God deserves our praise. And, of course, closely associated with that, as the psalm brings out, is thanksgiving. Can't turn to all the passages for time, but let's go to this. Ephesians 5:18. This is following the command of the Holy Spirit's fullness. Well, 5:18 is that command. 5:18, notice. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. There's praise. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice how it puts it. Always for all things. How can you do that? Fullness of the Holy Spirit and faith. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, them that are called according to his purpose. Any other perspective is a wrong one. God is good, like we read there in Psalm 100. 1 Thessalonians says, in everything give thanks, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. And so, do we have needs? Yes. Let your requests be made known unto God, Philippians 4:6, with thanksgiving. So we always want to have that in our prayer. Praise, thanksgiving. Please go to Hebrews 13:15. You know, when we do this, it's an offering to God. It's an act of worship to God. We're bringing something to God. You know, we often think of, what am I receiving? And we are a needy people. We need God and his grace. But notice this, 13:15 of Hebrews. By him, by Christ, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. I know I've related before the first person we had in this church. In fact, the person who asked us to come up here and start a Bible church was Mrs. Ann Dinda. And she used to say, you just have to praise him and thank him all day long. And we'd pick her up in Youngstown and bring her. And then we had an evening service. We were in our home. That's where we had church. And all afternoon, she'd be down there praying. That was what she rejoiced in. I believe she had a gift with it. But praise was her theme. And she had a hard life. Now, worship, adoration, communion with God, it goes along with the praise and thanksgiving. Please go to Psalm 95:6. You know, we want to enter into this where we're rejoicing in the Lord. And Psalm 95, in his presence is fullness of joy. Psalm 95:6, notice, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Did you ever do that? Get alone with God, kneel down. Verse 7, for he is our God and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you'll hear his voice. Please go to Psalm 96, verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all the people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. And I'm going to skip over to verse 6. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering. Come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Do we do that? Even in a time like this, we want to, like it's one psalm says, hold up our hands to God, our hearts and our hands to God in the heavens and worship, you know, where we're coming before him. We're occupied with God. That ought to be the emphasis of our prayer. Draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. And Psalm 73, it's good for me to draw near to God. Whom have I in heaven but thee? There's none on earth I desire beside thee. Now, what if we can't do that? And there might be occasions where we can't do that, where it just seems like we're not getting off the ground with our prayer. What do you do? You ever watch football? You back up and punt. And this is what we do. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And in other words, got to have the barriers broken down. You know, God has terms upon which we can draw near to him. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And so we want to be right. As David said, search me, O God, know my heart, try me, know my thoughts, see if there be any wicked way in me, lead me in the way everlasting. And keep short accounts with God, in other words, so that we're walking with him in fellowship with him. So that ought to be a daily thing, you know. If I regard iniquity in my heart, so the Lord will not hear me. Now, we've had our worship, and our hearts are right with God. We've been in his presence in a personal way. Well, now we have some requests, and we have petitions, specific requests, supplications, things that we're asking God for. Now, this is closely related to intercession that I'm going to come to. But remember the pattern prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. In other words, it's God's program. It's not our little world, you know. No, we want to pray for souls, don't we? And we know, don't we know unsaved people? Yes, we do. We have family members and so forth, and we maybe. And I like the story of Hudson Taylor's mother. Hudson Taylor grew up in a Christian home. You know, he was a missionary to China. And it was a burden to her that her son wasn't safe. She felt led to go to prayer, and she was just going to go to prayer that day until she had peace that he would be saved. Well, in the meantime, he was home. They were out of town, and he had sort of a critical viewpoint. He thought, though, he was bored, and he was in the study, and he picked up a pamphlet, and he said, you know, usually these stories about salvation have an interesting illustration. I'll read that, and then I'll drop it. Well, he read it. But he kept reading it, and he trusted Christ as a Savior. He was saved. Well, in the meantime, his mother, in a remote spot, she had great peace. She knew he was saved. He came home. She came home a couple days later, and he's all excited to tell her, and she said, I know. Well, is there power in prayer? Yes, there is. We want to pray for souls. Or how about growth of brethren? Have you ever noticed in Paul's epistles, he prays, Colossians 1, spiritual understanding and wisdom, that you might walk worthy of God unto all pleasing, strengthened. Or Ephesians 1, that our eyes would be open to understand his inheritance in the saints and the power that's working in us. Ephesians 3, several things. He prays that the Holy Spirit would we'd be strengthened by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ would dwell or be at home in our hearts by faith, that we would be rooted and grounded in love and comprehend. They're high prayers, aren't they? This is what we need, to pray for one another, brethren, that we can have spiritual victory. There's much prayer, much power. This is where it's found. It is found in the illumination of the Word of God, most definitely. But it's found in the realm of prayer. And please go, if you will, to Philippians 1. Here's an example where Paul, he's looking for the prayers of believers as he's in prison. And he doesn't pray he would be released from prison necessarily. But notice in Philippians 1:19, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me is to live is Christ, to die is gain." Well, that's what he's looking for himself. That's what you and I need. We need self to get out of the way. We need Christ to become preeminent and magnified. That's the way of growth, where he's taking over. Prayer is behind that. I won't turn to it, but 2 Corinthians 1:11, he did pray. He thanked them for prayer, for physical deliverance. He did have it. We can pray for health needs. Heard that in the scripture. "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." God does heal, you know, and according to his will. Or how about financial needs? It's in the Lord's prayer there. "Give us this day our daily bread." Your heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things. And so, but he wants to hear from us. "Seek and ye shall find. Ask, it shall be given. Knock, it shall be open. You have not because you ask not," so we can come. Now, how about, here we get to the good part. Do you have any burdens? Oh, that's where we want to know how to pray, right? And "Casting all your care upon him who cares for us." "Cast thy burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." In Psalm 55:22. Psalm 37. "Commit thy way unto the Lord." It means roll thy way upon the Lord. "Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Prayer changes things. And so we want to bring it to God. You can go to the head office, you know. Remember, you've got an approach to the Father in the name of the Son, the power of the Holy Spirit. You're coming to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in the time of need, a special season of need. So, you know the passage, "Be anxious for nothing." You have anxieties about anything? "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." There's some good examples of this, brethren, in the Bible. Hannah, 1 Samuel 1, she's persecuted. She was barren without a child. And she poured out her heart to the Lord. And what was the result? Well, she did receive a male child, but her countenance was no more sad. And then you have Hezekiah, received a threatening letter from Sennacherib, king of Assyria. And he took the letter and he spread it out before the Lord. "Here it is, Lord. Now you see this, and you're the God of heaven." And God did something about it. 185,000 Assyrian soldiers killed. Or here's the best one of all. It's always the best one of all. Jesus Christ. He's suffering. He's on the cross. They're mocking him. "When reviled, he reviled not again, but he committed himself," it's present tense, "he kept on handing himself over to him that judges righteously." That's what you and I can do. And so this realm of prayer is something. And we want to enter into this in a personal way. You know the hymn, "Sweet Hour of Prayer"? We want to know the consolation of that, don't we? And where we're still before God, and we enter into his presence, and it can help us to develop in our relationship with him when we have an intimate prayer life. So how's your personal prayer life? It's personal, right? Only God sees that. You know, it can be developed. Just like a person's capacity to study, meditate, feed on the Word of God, our prayer life can deepen too. And we want to have the attitude, don't we, like the disciples when they saw Jesus pray, "Lord, teach us to pray." Do we think that we know how to pray like we should? No, I'm sure we don't know how to pray like we should. And so we need him to help us. God, the Holy Spirit, can motivate us And isn't it wonderful to know God the Son prays for you, you know. He'll save us to the uttermost to come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession. It's customized. Peter, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. And it didn't. Well, let's go now to more of a ministry of prayer. I knew this would happen. My time's running out. Acts chapter 6. Here you have the apostles who delegated responsibility to really the first deacons. And here's why. In Acts 6, 4, notice. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now, you know those two things go together. In fact, you've heard of Charles Spurgeon. They called him the Prince of Preachers. He had a group that was praying in the basement while he preached. He himself was really a great man of prayer. Well, notice the commitment to this. We will give ourselves continually to prayer in the ministry of the word. And please go to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Just to show you how essential this was in the early church, it was one of the primary things. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, there's the teaching of the word, fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. So that would be united prayer. We'll come back to that thought. Now, first of all, I'd like to consider the importance of intercessory prayer. So you could say this is a continuation now of our personal prayer, although this could be in a united way too, that we intercede. Please go to Ephesians 6:18. We are commanded to do this. We have a commitment to missionaries. It's a financial commitment, but it's also a prayer commitment. And it's been illustrated by lowering somebody down in a pit, you know, and you're holding the ropes. Well, by prayer, we're holding the ropes. They're sticking their neck out, you know, to get the gospel out. We want to support them. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Now notice the context here is a spiritual warfare, and the admonition is to continue in prayer. It's also in Colossians 4. All prayer, that's general, supplication, that's specific, in the Spirit, and watching, there's an alertness that's needed. Isn't it true? You go to prayer, maybe you are using a list, or you're going by memory, or there's a temptation, distractions come in, you know. Well, we want to persevere in this thing. It's a ministry. And with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, so we do. We are our brother's keeper. We want to pray for one another, missionaries, those in the body of Christ. And then please go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy has the subject of church order. And here we see a primary part of church order is prayer. Chapter 2, verse 1. In fact, he says it's a priority. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved to come into the knowledge of the truth. And so first of all, and this no doubt would enter into united prayer, but we see it's a priority, should be, in a local body. Now, I want to back up. There's something I meant to say first about this. Did you know, as believers, we are believer priests? And please go to 1 Peter on this. So, meaning that we have access in a representative way before God. We can represent others before God. And we see it in 1 Peter chapter 2. He says, you also as living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And then notice 2:9, for you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we have that privilege and responsibility of access and can intercede on behalf of others. I want to cite some examples. We can't turn to these, but there are many in the Bible of the power and influence of intercessory prayer. Abraham, remember, he prayed in Genesis 18 for Lot. God delivered him. Moses, Exodus 32, he prayed for Israel, and God answered. Samuel, 1 Samuel 12, he said, God forbid that I should sin against you in ceasing to pray for you. He was a priest as well as a prophet. How about Daniel chapter 9? Understanding by books, the book of Jeremiah, 70 years captivity in Babylonia were up, and so he began to pray. And then, in confessing the sins of the nation, Nehemiah chapter 1, he interceded on behalf of Israel. And then, of course, you have the Apostle Paul, as he had the care of all the churches. It's amazing the intercessory ministry that he engaged in. And I would like to turn to some of this because it shows the importance. In Romans 1:8, this is a ministry, brethren, that we can engage in. In Romans chapter 1, in verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Now, that's amazing. Now, let's go to just a couple more. Philippians 1:3. By the way, he didn't start the church in Rome. He had never even been to Rome yet. But he knew them and he prayed for them. Philippians in chapter 1, verse 3. Here's the church he did begin. Philippians 1, 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. One more. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 2. Chapter 1, verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention for you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God our Father. So it's a beautiful example that Paul gives us. And by the way, Paul appealed for prayer, and my time would fail me to look to those places. We read one, that he'd have boldness of utterance with the gospel. He said, brethren, pray for us. A couple places. He sometimes asked prayer for protection. And in Colossians 1, I want to read this. Colossians chapter 1. You may have entered into this type of thing, what Paul is going to say here. Chapter 1, verse 28. Now, he had not seen these brethren. In verse 28, he says, speaking of Christ, whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily, for I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Now here, that word in the Greek is agonizing. I'm agonizing over you as he interceded for them. So that's like a mother, you know, who the child is suffering and there's the suffering the mother's going through. That's the type of thing here that's motivating his prayer. There's love behind it. Well, you have Epaphras. It's right in our book here, Colossians chapter 4, verse 12, a great example. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Now here's the scary thought. Would they have stood complete in all the will of God without that prayer? Probably not. You know, God, he does what he does, and he has all power. But he has ordained to work through prayer. So we dare not neglect it for ourselves or for others. Much prayer, much power. Again, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We need it, brethren. And we need to be diligent in it. And in the last days in which things are getting worse, we want to be stronger in the word. We want to be stronger in prayer. We want to buckle down in the thing. And we can deepen in this. Well, J.O. Fraser was a great example. My time's running out, though. Dr. Chafer witnessed that. He was head of China Inland Mission after Hudson Taylor. And he witnessed his continual intercession for the people of China and the missionaries. And we've had it here before. We've had it with Mrs. Dinda, Tade Thomas, even over at Essex. Everybody would go to her for prayer. All she did was listen to tapes on the Bible and messages and pray. That's a unique thing. And maybe you're a prayer warrior. God knows, and you know, it's something that is a ministry. Well, united prayer, final point, Matthew 18:19. What merit does it have? What does the Lord say about it? We have a prayer meeting here. Why? Matthew 18:19. Again, I say unto you, Jesus said, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And so that's a promise of blessing, agreement in prayer. Now we saw in Acts 2:42, they continued in prayer with the church. It was a vital part of the early church. It still should be. And in Butler, they started a prayer meeting on Sunday night. It's a separate service. It's a short devotion, and they go to prayer. It's been a very uniting thing. And you know, it does have that effect. And it has the recognition that I need the fellowship of brethren. I need the prayer of brethren. Did you know that even Jesus himself asked for it in Gethsemane? He didn't get it, but he said, can you watch with me here? Stay here and pray while I go yonder. It's about a stone's throw away. They fell asleep, but he wanted it. And so how much more do we need that prayer support, the united prayer? So, prayer. How we need it, brethren. We need the blessing, the comfort, the power that comes from prayer. Personally, as a family, as a church, we need prayer. And if there's anything that ought to be increased, it is prayer. So you can see how central this is. You can see, when we say, well, our fellowship has a conviction of Bible prayer and missions. No, the Bible has the emphasis of these things. The Word of God, it's essential. Prayer is essential. And is it not an acknowledgement that we need God? And an expression of, the passage, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. Can we do anything without him? Is there any blessing without him? We're cast on the Lord, no matter what it is. We don't want to take anything for granted. We want to bathe everything in prayer. And this is true in every area. I'll tell you just a simple little illustration. I have my own methods. After I write a check or something, I have prayer about the finances. And God answers prayer. That's just a little thing I have. And I pray for all of you. And probably others of you, too, pray for all of you. And it's a privilege, isn't it? We can lift each other up to the throne of grace. And but getting back to the personal part, it's a special time of communion with God, sweet hour of prayer. It ought to be where we're in his presence and we go away like Hannah, our countenance no more sad. We ought to know what it is to come to the throne of grace, to come into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, and to fellowship with God. But also, it isn't just for our comfort, it's for power. It's for souls to be saved. It's for Christians to grow. It's for lives to be transformed. And so God answers prayer. I didn't have time, but there's a whole lot more. In fact, it's in that outline if you want to pick it up. There are conditions, aren't there? You have to come in faith. And you have to come in the will of God. And you have to come where you're keeping his commandments. And we have to abide in Christ. And Jesus said, if my words abide in you, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. So the word is primary, prayer is primary, and we'll see next time that missions is primary. That's God's heart. Well, let's pray. Father, how we thank thee for the word of God. We thank thee that we have it, that you've preserved it, and it's the foundation upon which we stand for our faith. We thank thee for prayer. We thank thee for Jesus Christ's death that's rent the veil and given us access where we can come by his blood through his person in a basis that you've given us, Father, where we are accepted. We do pray for any here who've not trusted Christ as their Savior and haven't really entered into prayer, that you'd help them make that first prayer, a sinner's prayer. That we are sinners, but Christ died for our sins and rose again. We trust him as our Savior. And help us as thy children that we could deepen in prayer. Teach us to pray. Help us to grow in this area in fellowship with thee, in intercession, and even in united prayer. And we rejoice, Father, that you're on the throne and we can come to thee. And you have all power and all wisdom and all love. And so we pray, bless your word to our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen.